دور کھاتے پڑھ کے تو سلام پھیر دیا انہوں نے, تو نماز نہیں ہوتی, سجدہ سو کرنا چاہیے.
مسافر تھے
جی,
مسافر جو دو رکعت پڑھتے ہیں پیچھے دو رکعت کھڑے ہو کے کر سکتے ہیں؟
مسافر تو نہیں ہے نا,
مسافر تھے وہ, وہ مسافر تھے.
اچھا مسافر
جی,
اچھا چلو پہلے
اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم, بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. واوحى ربك الى النحل ان اتخذي من الجبال بيوتا ومن الشجر ومما يعرشون.
No sound. Go to this side.
اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم, بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. واوحى ربك الى النحل ان اتخذي من الجبال بيوتا ومن الشجر ومما يعرشون. ثم كلي من كل الثمرات فاسلكي سبل ربك ذللا, يخرج من بطونها شراب مختلف الوانه فيه شفاء للناس ان في ذلك لآية لقوم يتفكرون. والله خلقكم ثم يتوفاكم ومنكم من يرد الى ارض للعمر لكي لا يعلم بعد علم شيئا, ان الله عليم قدير.
Starting today from ayah number 68 of surah An-Nahl, which is the surah is entitled the honeybee, and this ayah that we're reciting today, it is related to the honeybee and the miraculous nature of the production of honey that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered the honeybee to produce for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ. Your Lord, He makes wahi, He gives orders to the bee. So this word wahi, when it is used in terms of the prophets, it refers to the wahi that we know in terms of Angel Jibreel coming, giving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam the revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam memorizing it, all of the different forms of wahi that came to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that is the original meaning of wahi. Other than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word wahi in many other contexts. إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that He has sent wahi to the malaika, meaning He gave them orders, and this is related about the Battle of Badr. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, about all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى رُسُلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. So all of these verses related to the wahi that was sent to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. He sent wahi to His chosen slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this wahi would not be the wahi that we understand it in terms of Jibreel alayhi salam coming down. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into people's minds some things to do and guided them, told them that this is the best way, and put it into their hearts. So, for example, when we make istikhara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us. So that's also a form of wahi. And it's mentioned in hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that the only remnant of wahi left for the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is the dreams that come to a person. So the dream, whether that's through istikhara or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a message through a dream to a person, then that is a form of a smaller form of wahi that comes to us. So this is also wahi. So Allah says about the Hawariyin, about the people of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, his companions, that I sent wahi to the Hawariyin, to the companions of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي. We gave wahi to the mother of Musa alayhi salam to breastfeed him, أَنْ أَرْضِعِي. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ. Once you fear for his life, then put him into the river. And we know the whole story as to what happened with Musa alayhi salam. But the point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a form of wahi to the mother of Musa, meaning put it into her heart that she should do what she actually went on to do by putting Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in a basket and putting him into the river. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word wahi for the shayateen. وَإِنَّ شَيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ. That the shayateen also, they form and give wahi to their own friends, meaning this refers to the wasawis and the shaytan making people do things. So the word wahi is used also in that context. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says about the Day of Judgment, يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَالَهَا. On the Day of Judgment, the earth will speak up and witness against the people that were walking around and committing sins or doing good on the earth will bear witness for them or against them. So, يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. The earth will give its news. Why? بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَالَهَا. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave wahi to it, commanded it to do that. Okay, so the wahi comes in different contexts, different ways, but the real wahi is only the wahi that is given to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam through Angel Jibreel. All the other forms of wahi are what are known as ilham, thoughts that come into people's minds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. The word wahi is used in that context. So here, Allah uses the word وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave wahi to the honeybee. What that means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for every single animal, every single creature, what it's supposed to do and what it's not supposed to do. Okay, so the lion knows what it's supposed to eat. The tiger knows what it's supposed to eat. The cow knows what it's supposed to eat. And all of the other animals, they know what they're supposed to do in terms of their responsibility. The snakes, their responsibility is to kill the rodents so that the rodents don't get out of control. Everything works within a system. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done wahi to all of these creatures to go according to the thing that they're supposed to do. So the wahi towards the animals is the animals sticking to the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. So we as humans, we've been given rules and regulations, but we have the choice to obey or disobey those rules and regulations. The animals, they cannot. They cannot disobey the rules and regulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has given wahi to the bee, meaning ordered the bee, أَنِتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرِ وَمِمَّا يَعْرِشُونَ. To make in the mountains houses, and in the trees houses, and in those houses that they have built. So, bees can be found in the mountains, they can be found in the trees, and they can be found in artificially built hives, which basically are domesticated bees. So this is the third category. So according to some of Mufassireen, that the initial bees were all wild. Initially, bees were all wild, and they used to make their hives in the mountains. Then slowly, slowly, they filtered into the trees. And then after that, when the human being realized the value of honey, they started to domesticate the honeybees, started making their own hives. And even now, to have bees, it's a big business. The place where bees are kept are called apiaries. Okay? And the owners of those bees, basically, they take their hives, put them in fields so that those bees can take the pollen from one tree, from the male tree, and put it into the female tree so that trees can mate. Okay, so this actually, according to the statistics, 1/3 of all plants in the world are actually pollinated by the bees. 1/3 of all plants. So if you can imagine, if the bee was not there, if the honeybee was not doing its duty and pollinating all these plants, 1/3 of the world's produce, one third of the world's fruit, one third of the food that the human being relies upon would not be available for us. Okay, one third of the whole crops of the world and the fruits and the trees are pollinated by the honeybee. So that's an amazing statistic for us. Also, some statistics related to the bee. There are actually 20,000 different species of honeybee, 20,000 different species. And also, recently, there was a big problem in the past few years where we've had problems with the use of pesticides that resulted in many, many bees dying. And there was a special name given to that, colony collapse disorder, that whole colonies of bees basically dying out, and farmers having to rely upon natural pollination to pollinate their crops and their fruit. So this problem occurred because of the issue of the increased use of pesticide, and also, according to some people, there was a mite, a small insect that these bees were being affected by, and they were eating it, and because of that, they were just basically being killed because of that. But the honeybee, it plays a huge role in nature's ecological system, and it provides a lot of services for us. And if you watch these documentaries about the honeybee, it's amazing how they make the honeycomb, and each of the cells of the honeycomb are perfectly hexagons, okay? How do they do it? That is a miracle by itself. The whole honeycomb is based upon hexagon shapes. And the hexagon shape, the way it's done, it makes the hive actually stronger. It makes it stronger than if they had square shapes or other shapes. The hexagon shape, it actually fortifies the whole honeycomb. And this is, again, one of the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can actually marvel at. So Allah says, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرِ وَمِمَّا يَعْرِشُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives wahi to the bee that make or take from the mountains houses and from the trees and from that which they have that they have constructed, meaning the ones that have been constructed by human beings, take all of these as homes. Okay? One of the unique things that has been mentioned here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the female terminology addressing the honeybee. And, you know, this is something that 1400 years ago, people would not have been able to differentiate between male and female. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses female terminology for the honeybee. And scientifically, it's been found that the honeybee which produces the honey is actually female. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word ittakhidhi. Ittakhidhi, it is when you're talking to a female. If for a male, it would be ittakhidh. This ya added to it, it indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to a female. So the females are the ones that produce the honey. And again, thumma kuli min kulli thamarat. Fasluki, it's if for a male, kul, usluk, fasluki, should be usluk for a male. And it goes on, yakhruju min butuniha, all female wordings, indicating that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that it's the female that produces the honey. Allah says, thumma kuli min kulli thamarat, then consume from all the fruits. So the bee, what it does, it goes to different flowers, different fruits, and consumes the nectar from all of these and produces honey from that. It comes, regurgitates, and all that, the scientific, you know, thing that happens to produce honey. It is a very marvelous thing. But Allah says, kuli min kulli thamarat, consume from all the fruits. So there's a huge science behind this production of honey. Okay, if, for example, the farmer wants the honeybee to produce a specific type of honey, then he has to take the hives and put them in a place where there are only that particular tree. For example, in Florida, it's very common to have a honey called orange blossom honey. Okay, why? Because orange trees are big in Florida. There are a lot of orange trees. So a very common honey found there is orange blossom honey. So this is a specific type of honey with a specific type of color, and it gives almost a tinge of the taste of orange when you eat it. Okay, and then there are honeys made of buckwheat, clover, you know, different types of flowers, different types of fruit, and there's a whole science between the color of the honey, the clarity of it, and the purity of it, different types of honey, raw honey, filtered honey, and then honey which is basically commercialized into such a degree that it's pasteurized and made so it has a longer shelf life. Different levels of honey and different kinds of honey, there's a whole science behind it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ كُلِي مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ, then consume from all the fruits, فَاسْلُكِي سُبُلَ رَبِّكِ ذُلُلَ, and tread and go according to the ways of your Lord in the state of humbleness and humility. Again, scientifically, they found out that bees, they actually take a route which is specific to what they're supposed to do. They take the route and then they come back according to the same route. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He orders and teaches the bee to go according to those routes and not go left or right from those routes. So again, فَاسْلُكِ سُبُلَ رَبِّكِ ذُلُلَ, take the paths that have been given to you by your Lord in the state of humility and humbleness. يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ, comes out from it, from its stomachs, شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ, the liquid which has different colors. Like I said, there's a whole science between different colors, different fruits, different flowers, and the benefits that you derive from those different honeys. There's a specific type of honey that comes from New Zealand, Manuka honey, very expensive, and that has healing properties more than any other type of honey. Then there's a type of honey from Yemen, which is called Sidr honey, very expensive also, but very clear, almost, if you look at it, it almost looks like water. Okay, so different colors, different benefits, and different tastes. The sweetness will vary accordingly. There's a very dark black honey, which is called honeydew honey. Okay, so this makes a very dark honey, and it's not even very sweet. There's not much sweetness inside it. Different honeys, different colors, different benefits, depending on what you want to get from it. So, فِيهِ شِفَاءُ لِلنَّاسِ, in this honey, there is a cure for humanity. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us there is a cure in it for us. So, this is basically what we believe. If we are consuming on a daily basis some honey, this inshallah is going to be good for us because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it. Whether it's proven by science or not, we believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. And there are different studies that have been done upon different benefits of honey, but it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ, in it there is a cure for humanity. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, indeed in this there is indeed a sign for the people that do tafakkur, that ponder. And where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use this word tafakkur? About the people who ponder into the creation of the heavens and the earth. And after pondering, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, they ponder into the creation of heavens and the earth, and they declare, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا, O Allah, you didn't create anything in vain. So just this bee, the study of the bee, and the things that it can do, the miracles that it can perform, the way that it builds its hives, the whole system of the queen bee, and the laying of the eggs, and then the production of new larvae, and the birth of the new honeybees, and then the worker bees, the drone bees, the queen bee, all have been given different responsibilities. That in itself is something that we can understand that it is only the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can enable such a creature to have such an advanced system. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna fi dhalika la ayatan liqawmi yatafakkarun." Indeed, there's a sign for people that do tafakkur and ponder and marvel at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through looking at His creation. So using the honeybee, this is what we should do. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Alaykum bi shifa'ain, al-asal wal-Qur'an." Hold fast to the two cures, asal, honey, and Qur'an. So the concept of ruqya is something that people are kind of lazy about, and they think maybe it's mumbo-jumbo, but this is something that we should do all the time. Okay, when it comes to protection for ourselves, Ayatul Kursi, Mu'awwadhatayn, verses which are related to protection from Ayn and magic and all these things, we should learn them and put them into practice. So the Prophet ﷺ said, hold fast to two cures, the cure from honey and the cure of the Qur'an. There are many, many hadith which talk about this issue. The next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. Allah is the one who created you, ثُمَّ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ, then He will raise you up. The word yatawaffa, it really means to raise up. And the same word is used in the context of death. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives somebody death, wafat, what we say in Urdu, wafat baage. Okay, so this is from that word. Wallahu khalaqakum, Allah created you, and He will give you wafat. He will raise you up, or which means that He will give you death. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. And there are some of you that will be returned back to أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ. أَرْضَل is from the word رَذِيل. رَذِيل means disgraced. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that many of you will return back to the disgraced age. What is the disgraced age? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to seek refuge from this age. When the person becomes very old and senile and has dementia, and that person, he becomes like a child again. يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ. He is returned back to the disgraced age. So when a child is born, he's helpless, needs his parents, needs his diaper changed every hour or so, every couple of hours, needs to be fed, needs to be cleaned, needs to be bathed, needs to be taken to the doctor. So this is an age where the child is at its neediest. The old person basically returns back to that age when he is at, or she is at, his or her neediest. So this is known as أَرْضَلُ الْعُمُرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا, so that the person will not know after having knowledge. He will have no knowledge whatsoever. So a person, he can be the biggest scientist and the most intelligent person, but when it gets to that age and dementia sets in, senility sets in, everything that a person ever learned in his life, he will forget. Alzheimer's, for example, comes in. A person cannot even remember the names of his own children. And when his child comes in front of him, the one that he or she gave birth to and was the parent of, that person cannot even remember who that person is. Very, very difficult situation, and something that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us refuge from and protect us from. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that you will be returned back, some of you will be returned back to this age. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to make this dua, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْبُخْلِ وَالْكَسْلِ. I seek your refuge from stinginess and laziness, والحرم وأرذل العمر, from being old and weak, and from this أرذل العمر, this age, this disgraced age, when a person forgets everything. وعذاب القبر, and I seek your refuge from the punishment of the grave, وفتنة الدجال, and the trial of Dajjal, وفتنة المحيا والممات, and the trials of life and death. So this was a dua that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام used to make. And, we've also heard our elders, they make this kind of dua also, that, oh Allah, take me away while I'm walking and talking. you know, so that I don't become a burden upon my children, upon my family, you know, so that, you know, while I'm healthy to a certain degree, you know, and I didn't get to a stage where I have to be carried to the bathroom and all this kind of stuff, take me away. So this is again what we've always heard our elders making this particular dua. The Prophet ﷺ made the same dua. The Prophet ﷺ, he died at the age of 63, okay, so not too old, and he said himself that أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي بَيْنَ سِتِّينَ وَسَبْعِينَ عَامًا, that the age of my ummah will be between 60 and 70 years. Okay, beyond that, 70, 75, 80, 85, then that's when things become difficult for that person and also for the people around him. So after mentioning that, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is all-knowing and He is all-capable. Meaning He knows how long people are going to live, and He is capable of giving a person a longer life. He is capable of giving a person a shorter life. He is also capable of giving people a long life, and He doesn't get to this stage of difficulty. He doesn't get to this stage of senility. His mind is still sharp, and he's still physically able to walk around and do his own things. So he is capable of showing all these different types of situations. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from amongst those that have a blessed life and an easy life, and they do not become a burden upon their dependents. And with this, inshallah, we finish, and we will continue next week. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. میں چیک کر لیتا ہوں جی یہ حاجی عبدالوہاب صاحب وہ تبلیغی جو ہیں